Today's daf is Erev and daf Ayin Ches, and we are on the last line of daf Ayin Zayin Omid Beis v'Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rabbe Bar Avor. Today's daf's been learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Ovadia ben Miriam Leah, Chaim Naftali Menachem ben Yendela, Rafal Mordechai ben Gittel, and Chana Rivka bas Faila. Today's daf's also being learned as a schus for Hatzlacha, V'Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral. Today's daf's also being learned the Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibodol L'Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So yesterday's daf discussed two chatzeros that are side by side, but they're divided by a koisel. And the question was, when do we view this koisel as a divider to the point that these two chatzeros, despite the fact that they're so close to each other, are viewed as two independent chatzeros? So if they want to make a Ruva Chatzeros, each Chatzer would have to make its own Erev. If they wanted to combine and unite and make one big happy Erev, they wouldn't be able to. Said the Mishnah, if the Koisel was 10 Tfachim tall, then the Halacha is, it divides the two Chatzeros. If the Koisel is less than 10 Tfachim tall, then the Halacha is, it does not divide the two Chatzeros. The Mishnah and the Gemara then went on to discuss, what's the Halachic status of the koisel itself? Meaning, if somebody wanted to go to the top of the koisel and eat, if somebody wanted to carry something from his chatzer to the top of the koisel, can he or can he not? Then, what matters is how thick is the koisel. If the koisel is 10 tvachim tall and it's 4 tvachim thick, then it has the dimensions of a rishos hayachid. We would then look at it as its own rishos. As a result, you wouldn't be able to carry something from the chatzer to the koisel. You wouldn't be able to take something from the koisel back down to the chatzer. It doesn't matter which chatzer. Either way, it would be a problem. The reason is because from a technical Erevin standpoint, even though what you're doing seems to be pretty okay, but you're really carrying from one Rishos Hayachid to another Rishos Hayachid. And that's not something you're allowed to do unless you have a Ruvi Chatzeres. What would be if the Koisel was less than 4 Tfachim thick? That's already a Machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that if it's less than 4 Tfachim thick, then it falls in to the Hoitza category of a Makom Patur. A Makom Patur is not a Rishos. It's not a Rishos on the Deraisa level. It's not even a Rishos on the Derabbanan level. So said Rabbi Yochanan, it's Pashit that any member of any one of the Chatzeres, if they wanted to take something from the Chatzer and put it on top of the wall, what would be the problem? Madach, you can take something from a Rishos Hayachid, put it in a Makom Patur, and then take it from the Makom Patur and put it into a Rishos Harabim. You're using the Makom Patur as an intermediary to circumvent, to bypass the Deraisa Hoitza. Certainly in this case, where you're going Mirshus Hayachid, Mirshus Hayachid, you want to now view this Koisel as a Makom Patur in the world of Erevin, in the world of Eruv Chatzeres. There's no question. Rabbi Yochanan said, Eilu Mailam Mikan Va'Oichlin, Ve'Eilu Mailam Mikan Va'Oichlin. If it's 4 Tfachim thick, then it's a Mirshus Hayachid. You can't carry something from your Chatzer to the top of the wall. If it's less than 4 Tfachim thick, then it's a Makom Patur. You would be able to carry something from the Chatzer to your. Rav argued. Rav said that even though there is a concept of a Makom Patur, but Hacha, being that we're dealing with Isser Hoitza, not Doiraisa, but rather Derabbanon, we're dealing with carrying from one Rishos to another Rishos, and this wall, even though it's not four Tfachim thick, but certainly resembles a wall that's four Tfachim thick, to just go ahead and start splitting gears and splitting Tfachim when you're dealing with a Derabbanon, if you're going to make Leicht of a Derabbanon, you're going to make Leicht of the entire institution of Eruv Chatzeres. Chamon were worried about that. They weren't worried about it by a Deiraisa. They were more worried, Dafka, by the Rabbanon. And said Rav, this is an example of where you need to apply the principle, the Chiddush of Chachamim Masu Chizik L'Devrei Miyos Mishal Torah. And therefore Rav Shita is that nobody would be allowed to carry on the top of the wall. He said, Alamdis, Avrishtei Rishuya, Shaletis Boy, Le'yazis Boy, Afilukim Loinima. But either way, we talked a little bit about that in yesterday's daf. So again, the backdrop of yesterday's daf and today's daf is two Chatzeres side by side where there's a wall in between. And we're looking at it from two perspectives. Number one, the wall dividing the two Chatzeres. As a result, if you want to make Eruv Chatzeres, you'd have to make two separate independent Eruvin. You would not be able to make one. Why? Because there's a divider. What's the divider? A wall. How tall is the wall? 10 tfachim. How thick? Rashi says it doesn't matter. As long as it's 10 tfachim tall, that's the first halacha. The second thing that's being discussed is, what about the wall itself? Can you use the wall or can you not use the wall? Then already the thickness of the wall starts to matter. But one thing's clear. It's only if the wall is 10 tfachim tall. If the wall would be less than 10 tfachim tall, in that case, it doesn't seem like it would be an issue. Stating that, we had a omid and a half of Gemara that discuss what would be if somebody wants to be mema'et the koisel. So you have this koisel that's 10 fachim tall. It's dividing the two chaseros. You want to go now and you want to be mema'et the koisel. Why would you want to be mema'et? Meaning, what benefit would you have? There would be two benefits. Number one, if it's less than 10 fachim tall, you would be able to potentially use the top of the koisel. Let's say it's 4 tefachim thick. 10 tefachim tall, it's a Rosh Hashayachid. The Mishnah said, Eilu oilam mikam va'oichlin, the Eilu oilam mikam va'oichlin, ubovat shelo yoridu lematon. So, if I'm memayed it, so now that's a game changer. It's not 10 tefachim tall anymore. So it could be that would impact the ability to be able to use the wall. Number one. Number two, if I can make the wall less than 10 tefachim tall, it won't be a divider anymore between the two chatzeres. So it could be now if I want to go and I want to be ma'arev, the two chatzeres, that's something that I would be able to do. So one thing was clear in the Gemara, this is worth emphasizing, and that is, you can be ma'arev the wall. In fact, the Gemara gave a whole bunch of different ways that you can do it. What the impact of being ma'arev the wall is going to result in depends if only one of the chatzeres were memayit the wall, or if both of the chatzeres were memayit the wall. If one of the chatzeres were memayit the wall, so now we look at it as if it's less than 10 tefachim on their side. But if the other side, the people living in their neighboring chatzer, were not memayit the wall, on their side it's still going to be 10 tefachim. So if on my side it's less than 10 tefachim, and on your side it's 10 tefachim, you can't now say the wall's not 10 tefachim. As a result, we can make one big eruv chatzeres. Because maybe, even though from my perspective I was memayit, but from your perspective you were not memayit. So to look at it as one big chaser, that's not something you would be able to do. However, there is a halacha, says the Gemara, that if for me it's less than 10 tefachim, and for you it is 10 tefachim. So at the very least, from my own personal selfish perspective, I can look at it as if it's less than 10 tefachim. L'may nafkamina, I would be able to be mishtamish on top of the koisel. And the Gemara said even a bigger chiddush. My neighbors now won't be able to be mishtamish on the top of the koisel. Because this is an example where lezeh, it's tashmisha ben achas, and ulezet tashmisha bekasha, v'chol lezet tashmisha ben achas, lezet tashmisha bekasha, the halacha is, nois ne nois lezet tashmisha ben achas. Only the one that was memayit would be able to use it. In the event of both were memayit, oh, now if we were both memayit, so now the whole wall is not 10 tefachim anymore. So now could be, we would be able to be ma'arivit together. Or another nusach, again, this is technical, but another nusach is if both sides were memayit, so then we can look at the miut, that thing that was memayit, the height of the wall, as being a pesach. And as long as it's on both sides, so now we can look at it as a pesach. You can't have a pesach on only one side. But if you have it on both sides, now it's a pesach. So even if you want to say the wall is still 10 tefachim, you didn't change the height of the wall, but the miut, at the very least, serves as a Pesach. Once you have a Pesach, even if the wall is 10 tefachim, the halach is you'd be able to go through and through. Now, what can you use to be memayit? So we don't have to chazer the entire daf, although we almost did. But one thing is clear. It would have to be at least 4 tefachim wide. If it's not 4 tefachim wide, it's not going to work. That's number one. Number two, it has to be something that you're going to assume is going to be there for the entire Shabbos. If, however, it's something that chances are you're going to move, that's not going to work either. So again, it has to be at least 4 tefachim wide. Where do you come up with 4 tefachim? Meaning, what's the methodology to that number? So of course, whenever you're learning sugyos of Erevin, 4 tefachim is always a number. But more specifically, a Pesach has to be 4 tefachim wide. And therefore, the whole idea of being memayit the koisel is making the top of the koisel a little more accessible. So we have precedent from the idea that a Pesach has to be 4 tefachim wide. So you see, in order for something to be treated as a Pesach, a shar, it has to be 4 tefachim. So even if it's not going to be a Pesach, it's just going to work for one side. For me to now say that it's lezet tashmisha benachas. But it has to be at least 4 tefachim wide. Additionally, it would have to be such that it's not going to be moved during Shabbos, either because it's muktzah or maybe because it's very heavy. But if it's something that's going to be moved during Shabbos, it's not going to work. Zok to Gemara on that note. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuha, Ziz Hayetz Ben HaKoisel. If there was a ziz, a board, something protruding from the wall, Dalet al Dalet, if it was 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, V'niach alav sulam, and you put a sulam next to it, so the halacha is like this, Kol Shehu Miatai. If you put a sulam next to it, the halacha is the sulam itself is going to be mema'et the height of the wall. So we have over here a ziz that's protruding from the wall. The ziz itself had the requisite dimension that's needed in order to be mema'it, the height of the wall. It has to be 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. The ziz was 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. That's the good news. The bad news is, the ziz is not on the ground. It's popping out from the middle of the wall. And another thing that we saw in yesterday's daf is that the 4 tvachim that you need to be mema'it a kaisel has to be on the ground. If it's not on the ground, it's not going to work. So what this person wanted to do is he wanted to improvise, so he added 1 knetch. So he took a sulam, and he figured, let the sulam now close the gap between where the ziz is and the ground is, and now say that the sulam together with the ziz, in combination, are going to serve as a mirror. The problem is the sulam itself is not 4 tvachim wide. If the sulam itself was 4 tvachim wide, you wouldn't even need the ziz. The ziz is 4 tvachim wide, but it's not on the ground. The sulam is not 4 tvachim wide. Oh, but if you take them and you bring them together, so as a team, they're going to work. Because you have the 4 tvachim of the ziz, you have the sulam that's now attached to the ziz, the sulam goes all the way down to the ground. Rashi adds that there has to be less than 3 tvachim between the rungs. Because if there's more than 3 tvachim between the rungs, that was the last Gemara on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, so that's already going to be a gap, too big of a gap between the ziz and the ground. But as long as all the rungs are within 3 tvachim of each other, the lowest rung is within 3 tvachim from the ground, the next rung is within 3 tvachim of it, and then on top of that you have a ziz, you're going to be able to make it work. This is only going to work if you physically leaned the ladder on the ziz. But if you leaned it on the side of the ziz, it's not along the depth of the ziz, but rather it's side by side, leaning against the wall, just like the ziz is on the wall, then arvuche arvuche. Then the way we look at it is if you just widen the ziz. Widening the ziz is not going to help me, because I have that gap between the ziz on the ground that I'm trying to address. That's the purpose of the sulam. Either way, if you put it on the side, it's not going to work. If you leaned it on it, so now you can easily get from the ground, walk up the ladder, get onto the ziz, that will be memayet the koisel. A similar halach. If you have a wall that's 19 tvachim tall, with one ziz and a ladder, you'll be able to be mater. What do you do? It's 19 tvachim tall. Take the ziz, stick it somewhere in the middle of the ground. Then you'll have a ladder. The point is that the distance from the ground to the ziz will be less than 10 tvachim. And then the distance from the ziz to the top of the wall will also be less than 10 tvachim. So if it's 19 tvachim, one ziz and a ladder could do everything that you need to do. Asrin, what if the koisel was 20 tvachim? Then tzarech shnei zizim latiroi. Then in order to make it work, just based on the math, you're going to need 2 zizim. Amar Rav Chizkiya, Busha midim zeh shelo yenegeza. Even the 2 zizim are going to work, assuming they weren't one next to each other. The point is, you need that the ladders shouldn't be perfectly aligned with each other, because if they're perfectly aligned with each other, it's going to be very hard, just practically, Rashi says, to climb these 2 ladders. So at the end of the day, you need to make sure that the ladder, in order for it to work as being able to be memayit, the height of the koisel, it has to be functional. So if there's zeh kenegezeh, it's not going to be functional. If you are maimedem zeh shaloi kenegezeh, and I put a picture is goes a very long way on this Gemara, but very simple. As long as they're not perfectly aligned with each other, then practically speaking, you'll be able to use the ladders. If you can use the ladders, then it's going to work. A similar halacha. Amar Rav Huna said, Amar B'shus Rav, if you have a beam that's in Rishus Rav, it was 10 tvachim tall and it was 4 tvachim wide, which means la halacha, it has a din of a Rishus Hayachid. Again, a Rishus Hayachid is any area that's 10 tvachim tall and it's 4 tvachim wide. It doesn't matter if that beam is owned by one person, which is what the name, the label Rishus HaYachid seems to suggest, or it's owned by nobody, or it's owned by a lot of people. It doesn't matter if it's in a chatzer, it's in somebody's house. It doesn't matter if it's in a Rishus HaRabim, it's at the sea, it's in a Carmelis. Anytime you have any structure that has those dimensions, the halacha is, it has a din of a Rishus HaYachid. So Rav Huna said, if you have this amud, even if it was in a Rishus HaRabim, it was Gevay Asar, it was Rachav Arba, Venatz Ba Yasei Kolshu, and then somebody took a peg and he stuck it on top, even if it's a Kolshu, Miatoi. So what it does is it messes up the status of Rishus HaRabim, of the Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because now at its top, at its point, it's not 4 tvachim wide anymore. It's the size of the Yaseh. I mean that it's the size of the Yaseh, which is less than 4 tvachim, it loses its status of Rishus HaYachid. It's only going to be true if this Yaseh is at least 3 tvachim tall. If it's 3 tvachim tall, then this is going to be true. Otherwise, not. No, even if it's less than 3 tvachim, that's going to be the halacha. My time. Because now no one's going to use it anymore. Part of the reason that a Rishus HaYachid is a Rishus HaYachid when it's 10 tvachim tall, it's 4 tvachim wide. I mean, of course, these numbers are based on halacha l'moish mitzinai, mechitzos are all just like chatzitza and shiurim are halacha l'moish mitzinai. The laws of mechitzos are also halacha l'moish mitzinai. But the svara behind it is that when it's four tefachim wide, it could be used. There's some hishtamshos. Once you put a peg there, even if it's less than three tefachim tall, you can't use it anymore. You're going to sit there? So you can't do anything. So being that you can't do anything, so it's for that reason, it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah Yochid anymore. Rav Ashi said just the opposite. Even if it's three tefachim tall, it's still going to be okay. My time, huh? He said, because you could do something with it. Efshet atal yubay midi. Yeah, maybe it's going to be uncomfortable for certain types of usages, but at the same, you can hang something there. So being that you can hang something, you could use it. So the halacha is, it's going to be okay. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava asked Rav Ashi. Again, Rav Ashi disagreed with this whole premise. If you have an amud that's 10 tefachim tall, it's 4 tefachim wide, so the Amayram, Rav Huna, and Abaye v'Rav, and Rav Ada Barahavu, the Gedoyli Amayram, they were all discussing that if you would take a peg or like a needle, you'd stick it into the top of this amud, it loses its status in Rosh Hashanah Yochid anymore. Because it's not 4 tefachim wide at the top. So you can't use it. I mean, even though it still has the dimensions, but you can't use it functionally. And as a result, it loses its halacha. So Rav Ashi said, why can't you use it? You can hang your hat on it. You can do something with it. So that should be okay. So the Gemara says, Rav Achmed Rava asked Rav Ashi, what if milu kula be say this ma? What would be the halacha then? Let's say you took pegs and you stuck it in that whole area. So you can't sit on it. You can't really put something on it. You can't even hang anything on it. Because the whole area is covered with these poles. So what's the halacha then? Amalei. So Rav Ashi told Rav Achmed Rava, leishmiel achad amir Rav Yoichanan. Don't you know Rav Yoichanan's halacha? Okay, what was Rabbi Yechanan's halacha? Bur v'chul yisah. Somebody has a bar. He has a ditch, and he dug out sand, and he put it on the side of the bar. So there was a body of earth. He went, he took a shovel, he took dirt out of the earth, and around the ditch that he just created, he stuck a lot of choil, a lot of sand. So the halacha is mitztaref la'asara. If the height of the ditch itself, or the depth of the ditch, together with the height of the sand that's on the side of the ditch is 10 tefachim, it's considered 10 tefachim, so that if the hole itself is also 4 tefachim, this whole area is going to be a Rishos HaYachid. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Now there's a long Rashi here, and we need one knetch just for Pashup Shad of that Rashi to understand what the Gemara wants. Rabbi Yochanan's halacha was said with regards to the shear of 10 tefachim that a Rishos HaYachid has to be. So if the bar itself is less than 10 tefachim, but together with the choil that's on the side, it's 10 tefachim, that's Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. Bar v'chol yisa, so we saw this in Masech Teshabbos, is mitztaref lasar. Together it's going to be considered 10 tefachim. But really Rabbi Yochanan meant to say something else as well. He also meant to say that if the ditch itself is not 4 tefachim wide, but if you take the thickness of the choil on the two sides of the ditch, and you add it up with the thickness of the ditch itself, it's going to be 4 tefachim. That's also going to work. Just like Bar V'chulya says, Mitztaref La'asara, it's also Mitztaref La'arba. Rav Ashi said, I never understood Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. Halay mishtamishle. The yisoid of Dalet Tefachim is hishtamshus. So if the yisoid of Dalet Tefachim is hishtamshus, how you being mishtamish over here? At the end of the day, you're being Mitztaref. The bar and the chol that's on the side of the bar to create 4 tefachim. You don't really have a flat surface of 4 tefachim. It's a nice tikkotar. You have height of 10 tefachim. Yeah, that's real. But in lundus you have 4 tefachim. But practically, b'maisa, you don't really have 4 tefachim. So why does it work? If the only time something's considered is just a yachid is if you have dalet tefachim that are functional, you don't have dalet tefachim that are functional. So what do you have to say? You could use it. You know what you could do? You can take a board, you can put it on top of the pit, and it's going to be on top of the chayil on one side, top of the chayil on the other side, and you use it that way. So too, what's your problem? You have an amud b'shus rabim, it's gevay asar, it's rachav dalet, you have a bunch of pegs, what are you going to do with it? You can't even hang something on it. Now you can put a board on it, that's enough. So Rav Ashi said, you want to know my shita, I hold there's nothing you can put on top of this amud b'shus rabim, as long as 10 tefachim tall, it's 4 tefachim wide, it's never going to lose its status as a rishus hayachar. Amar Rav Yehuda mashmo, koysel asar, have a wall that's 10 tefachim tall. Tzarech sulam arba asalatir. The only way you could be matter this wall with a sulam, meaning the only way you could create a pesach on this wall using ladders is if the sulam itself is going to be at the very least 14 tefachim tall. So again, you have two chatzeres that are side by side. The case of the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Vav on the days, which was the topic of yesterday's daf and the topic of today's daf. And this kaisel is 10 tefachim because it's 10 tefachim. So these are two independent chatzeres. You can't be ma'ar of them together. If you were able to be mamayit the koisel on both sides, you could create a Pesach maybe, then of course it would work. How could you create a Pesach? One of the ways to do it is make a sulam. Put a sulam on one side, sulam on the other side, maybe only certain types of sulamas. That was the Gemara that finds Zayin on the base. That would be a way to work it around. So it says the Gemara that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that if you're going to use a sulam, the sulam is going to have to be at the very least 14 tefachim tall. If it's less than 14 tefachim tall, it's not going to work. And it's based on two hanachas. The first hanacha is, he held that the sulam has to go all the way to the top of the wall. If it doesn't go all the way to the top of the wall, it's not going to work as a Pesach, number one. Number two, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel held that there has to be a little bit of distance between the sulam and the wall. It has to be on a diagonal. Because if it's not on a diagonal, you're going to try to walk up that ladder, you're going to end up on your back. So practically speaking, there has to be a way for it to be able to sit nicely on top of the wall. How much space do you have to have? So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel came up with a number. He said 4 tefachim. So if the diagonal on the bottom is 4 tefachim, so then it works based on those two premises. So said Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, that the sulam has to be at the very least 4, because the wall is obviously 10 tefachim, and you need it to go to the top of the wall, and you need 4 tefachim of gap. As a result, 14, no, even 13 and change is going to be enough. What does Rabbi Yosef argue on? Rabbi Yosef agrees it has to be 4 tefachim away from the wall. But he also doesn't have to go all the way to the top of the wall. As long as it makes it to within the 10th tefach, that's enough. So 13 and a mashu is enough. You don't need the full 10th tefach. A little bit of that tefach is going to be okay. Even 11 and change. What's the svara? He holds it doesn't even have to go all the way into the 10th tefach. It has to go into the 8th tefach. As long as it's within 3 tefachim from the top, you have love it. Right, within 3 tefachim, it's always insignificant, and as a result, that too is going to be okay. Ravun Breid Rav Yeshua Amar Afilu Shiva Mashu. Ravun Breid Rav Yeshua, he took it to another level. He agreed with with the Kula, the most lenient position, Abaya, who said that as long as the Kaista Sulam goes up until within the Shear of Love, that's going to be okay. It doesn't have to go all the way to the top. It doesn't even have to go into the top Tefach. As long as it's within Sheva Mashu, that's going to be okay. But he said one other Kula. He said, I don't need 4 Tefachim of distance. You can lean the ladder against the wall. If you can climb up, if you're brave enough, that's going to be okay. But the bottom line is that's going to work. Zokti Gemara, Amar, Rav said, Sulam Zakuf Menayet Gemara V'lo Yedana Mai Taima. So Rav said, this halacha that we just said. Again, Rav Hun Breid Rav Yeshua was the last shita. He said that the Sulam doesn't have to have 4 tefachim. You can lean it against the wall, that's going to be okay. Rav said the same thing. Rav said, if you have a Sulam that's standing straight up, it's Menayet. And then he said, I have a Mesaira like that, but I don't know why. I don't know the reason. Rear that Rav does this much talking. He said, Gemara, v'lo yodana my taima. Ichveis nishfavos. Amma Shmuel. So Shmuel said, v'lo yoda abba taima da hamilsa. What? Rav, abba, you don't know the reason? So why was it called abba? So if you look at the Maseres Hashas says, l'rav kori hachi mishum chashivos. But Pashup Shad is, Rav's name was Abba. Rav's name at his bris, it wasn't Yikari Shmai B'Yisrael, Rav. Rav earned the title of Rav. Rabin shall call B'nai Agoyla. Rav's name was Abba. That was his name. Abba Aricha. He was very tall, and he was known as Abba Aricha. That's the Pashup Shad. But either way, so Shmuel referred to Rav as Abba. So he said, I don't understand. Abba, Rav, you don't know Pshad in this? It's very simple. Me the Havia, Itzdaba, Gabi Itzdaba. Just like we saw in Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, that if you have an Itzdaba, and on top of another itznaba, just some sort of box, and you lean it against the wall, that works to be memayit. So you see that you don't need distance. Even an itznaba al-gabi itznaba is okay. So what's the difference if the itznaba is leaning against the wall or if the sulam is leaning against the wall? At the end of the day, there's no reason it shouldn't work. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabchi. This is all me'inyin le'inyin ba'os inyin. The kolam shebebavel einin tzrichin keva. The palm trees in Bavel do not require keva. Meaning, if somebody wanted to use a dekel to be memayid or koisel, you're going to put a dekel, not a sulam. You're going to take a dekel, you're going to put it against the wall. So the halach is, you don't have to stick it to the ground in order for it to work. He was addressing, was Rabbah in the name of Rabbi Chiya, the halacha that the only time something works to be memayid, the koisel, is if it's something that's not going to be moved. But if it's something that's going to be moved, then it doesn't work. So his chiddush was that the tkalim and bubble were not something that were moved. My time, why not? So Pashi would say, maybe it's muktzah. Rashi says they weren't muktzah. So these were the kolim that for whatever reason they would use to sit on, they weren't muktzah. So why then is
Are we assuming that no one's going to move it? Because they were heavy. Yeah, you can move a couch. Technically, it's not muksa, but who's moving their couch, right? So as a result, this is something that's going to work. So I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Shaya. Yes, and the name Rabbi Shaya. He said even a bigger chiddush. Sulam is shavu'alvayin tzirchen kevah. Even a sulam doesn't need a kevah. I mean, my time, kveidin kevah, because the sulam is the lattice, was also heavy, and as a result, people didn't move. So man, I'm a sulam. It's called shkin kevah. But they said this is true for a sulam for shon out of dekel. Meaning more people move the sulam than move the dekel. Man, I'm a tkalim. The one that said kalim have a sulam is loy. A sulam is something that people move, and being that it's something that people move, it wouldn't necessarily work. Boy, minei Rav Yosef mei Rabba. Rav Yosef asks Rabba a question. Sulam mikan, the sulam mikan, the koshin beemtza ma'u. So again, in order for something to work as being memayit the height of a koisel, for whatever reason you want to be memayit the height of the koisel, it only works if it's four tefachim wide. A sulam works if it's four tefachim wide. What would be if you had a sulam that wasn't four tefachim wide? You had another sulam, it was also not four tefachim wide. If you took the two sulamos and you put them side by side, it still wasn't four tefachim wide. So you decided to do as you took a little bit of straw and you put them in between the two sulamos. So you have a sulam, and in between the two sulamos, you have a little bit of straw. Now it's four tefachim wide. The question is, does that work? Can you combine, merge the sulam and the sulam and the kash to create something that has the width of four tefachim, or can you not? Amalei told him, ain kafa regel oylaben. It's not going to work. The reason is, Rashi says, because when people climb, walk up a ladder, they walk through the middle of the ladder. And being that the kash, the straw is in the middle, and the straw is too flimsy, so if you walk on the straw, chances are you're going to end up going down. So as a result, it's not going to work. What would be if it was in the reverse? What would be if it was kashim, mikam, v'kashim, mikam, sulam, emtza? The same exact formulation. We have three things that you're merging together so that between the three, you're going to have your fourth vachim. But it's not sulam on the two ends with kash in the middle. It's kash and kash on the two ends with a sum in the middle. Oh, at least over here, it's going to work. Why? Are we kafa regal oilaman? Because over here, the kafa regal is going to work. So being that the kafa regal is going to work, meaning at the end of the day, you could merge them. In terms of creating the dalet fachim, there's no reason this shouldn't be okay. If the issue is simply, will you be able to functionally use this ladder? People walk through up the middle of the ladder. If the middle of the ladder is the sulam part, you'll be able to go. That will be able to carry your weight. If it's the kash part, it won't be able to. As a result, it's not going to be okay. Another halacha. Chokak lahashlim b'koisel b'kamo. So this sounds a little like the sugir, a mayor shita of chokik and lahashlim. It has nothing to do with that shita. But either way, you have a person that had a sulam. The sulam was less than four tefachim wide. He wants to use the sulam again to be memayit the koisel. The problem is, it doesn't have the shear. It's less than four tefachim. So what did he do? So this guy went to work. He literally dug out a portion of the kaisel so that there were now holes, ridges, inside the wall that were parallel to the rung of the ladder, so that if you combine the area, the chakak, together with the sulam itself, you'd end up having four tefachim. So the question is, does that work or does that not work? Okay. The assumption in the question was that it does work. But the shaila was really more bekamo, meaning how high up the ladder would you have to go? Or how high up the wall would you have to go? Amalei told him basara, you'd have to go up to 10 tefachim. If you go up to 10 tefachim, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Amalei, chakakoy kulei bekoisel bekamo. What would be if you didn't have a ladder at all? And instead of a ladder, you want to create this embedded ladder that's inside the kaisel. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to make chakika. So there's no ladder where you're doing the chakika to be mashlim the dalet tefachim. The whole dalet tefachim is going to come from what you're engraving inside the wall. So how far up would that have to go? I believe Moshe Kemas, it has to go all the way to the top of the ladder. So he said back with Maishna, I don't understand. If there's a ladder and all you need is to be chaykek lahashlim, so then just be chaykek lahashlim up until 10 tefachim. What happens on top of the 10 tefachim, we don't care. If there is no ladder, then you have to be chaykek not only up until 10 tefachim, but until the top of the ladder. So what's the difference? I mean, he told him it's very simple. Hasa mistalikle, hachale mistalikle. In the first case, there was a ladder. The ladder itself goes all the way up on top to the top of the wall. He held that the ladder has to go until the top of the wall. The problem with the ladder was it wasn't four tefachim wide. So why are you being chaykek? Lahashlam, just to make up the difference, close that gap, so that now it's going to be four tefachim. The four tefachim, although that's the shear that all these miyutim have to be, but here's the chiddush, it only has to be four tefachim up until 10 tefachim. So once you hit the 10 tefachim marker, beyond that, it doesn't have to be four tefachim anymore. So if you have a ladder that goes all the way to the top, albeit not four tefachim wide, so what's my issue? My issue is not that I don't go to the top. My issue is I'm not four tefachim. Okay, you're right. You have to be four tefachim. But you only have to be four tefachim up until ten tefachim. So make it up until ten tefachim and you're going to be done. When there is no ladder, so now I have two issues. Ich hab garnish. So what I need to do with my being chaykek is, number one, create a ladder that goes all the way to the top, and number two, make sure it's four tefachim. But over here, at the very least, I need to be chaykik up until the top. So I have to be chaykik all the way up until the top. That's why here the halacha is that it has to be melech kemasai. If it's not going to be melech kemasai, it's not going to be okay. But I mean, Rav Yosef, may Rabbo. Rav Yosef asked Rabbo another question. Again, the same exact noisei. Two chatzeros side by side. There's a kaisel in between. As a result, halacha, Erevin treats them as two completely distinct chatzeros. You're trying to do something to give zechanetz over here that maybe we should be able to be ma'ariv the two chatzeros. The old-fashioned way to do it would be to call someone down and have him build a door for you. But yeah, you're improvising. So the question is, what can you do? What can you not do? So Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi, what would be if somebody took a tree? He put the tree next to the wall and he used it as a sulam. Is that going to work or is that not going to work? How about a tree? So what's unique about a tree as it relates to Erevin? A tree is muktzah. And because a tree is muktzah, so yesh loymar, then maybe if something's muktzah, if you can't be mishtamish with the tree on Shabbos, that means I can't use the ladder on Shabbos. If I can't use the ladder on Shabbos, how is this going to work? So the Gemara says, t'boy le Rebbe, t'boy le Rabbana. That it could be this Shiloh is really going to be totally in a different Shiloh. Machloik is Rebbe and Rabbana. A very geshmak of Machloik is Rebbe and Rabbana that we saw earlier in the Masechta. And that is, Rebbe has a shita that anything that's asr on Shabbos, mishum shvus, chamum warn goyza bein hashmashas. The Rabbanon argued, the Rabbanon hold that even the shvusim chamum warn goyza bein hashmashas. And the Gemara said that one of the nafkiminas la'alach between Rebbe and the Rabbanon is, can you put an erev tchumen in a tree? Why not? Because if you can't be mishtamish with a tree, so maybe, how could you put your erev tchumen there? Then again, if being that when does Erev Tchumen go into effect, Bein Hashmashes, and be mishtamish with a tree is only in the Siddur Rabbanon. So if you hold that anything that's a Shvus, like Gazer Bein Rabbanon, Bein Hashmashes, so Kubi, it's not going to be a problem. So Maisis Machlokes is Rebbe in the Rabbanon. Rebbe's Shita is that you can, Chamash Shita is you're not. So said Rabbi Yosef, when he asked the Shaila to Rabbah, my question of whether or not you can use this Sulam now for a Ruvi Chatzeris purposes, I tell Shaila, I coin to Rebbe that holds you can put an Erev Tchumen in a tree, and I coin to Rabbanon that holds you cannot. Why? At Kalei Kamar Rebbe Hassan. When did Rebbe say that it's okay? Called Davish Umishuas like Gazor Alavein Anamil Bein Hashmashes. That was regarding a Ruv Tchumen, where it just has to be good Bein Hashmashes. What happens after Bein Hashmashes doesn't really matter. He never said you could be mishtamish with the Elon the whole Shabbos. He said that being that it's only a Shavuos to be mishtamish with the Elon, you can be mishtamish with Elon Bein Hashmashes. Erev Tchumen goes into effect Bein Hashmashes. So as long as Bein Hashmashes, it's okay. So we don't have a problem anymore. After Bein Hashmashes, you won't be able to use it. It doesn't matter. But over here, maybe it is a problem. Because over here, if you want to use this as a ladder, as a Pesach, to be ma'arev the Tuchatzeres, you have to be able to use it not only Bein Hashmashes, the whole Shabbos. In Erev Tchumen, there's a chiddush that we only care about Bein Hashmashes. That's an Erev Tchumen Diga Chiddush. What Shaykh is to our sugya? Here, maybe you need to be able to use it the whole Shabbos. I mean that you can't use it the whole Shabbos. So even though Rebbe was Mekel by Tchumen, maybe over here would be Macher. Oy Doma. He said, I could see it the other way. Maybe I feel a Rabbanon Pischahu. Maybe this is going to work even according to Rabbanon. V'ar Yehuda Revi Oleh. Maybe this is a regular Pesach. What would be if you had a Pesach between two Chatzeres and there was a lion? Literally a lion. Standing at the foot of the, you're going to tell me, oh, it's not a Pesach for the Shabbos because there was a lion there? Of course it's going to be a Pesach. You couldn't get through. Okay, you couldn't get through. But it doesn't change the halachic status. No one's going to say they have to make a kol kaira in shul and say there's a lion, and as a result, you know, you may want to avoid that street. And not only that, there's no Erev. No, if ever there's an Erev, you can't get through. That's an external thing. In Lundis, the lion doesn't play a role. Practically, it does. But in Lundis, it doesn't. And as a result, maybe this is the same thing. The fact that you can't use the tree, that in Lundis, who cares? That's like a lion. So there's a problem here. The problem is not the lion. The problem is the fear of Chil Shabbos. So Zayin. But at the end of the day, it could be it's going to be a Pesach even according to the Rabbanon. Another Shiloh. Asoy la Asher Sulamah. What if somebody used a tree, but not just any tree? An Asherah tree. So an Asherah, we know, is Avodah Zarah. Machlokes in Masechta Sanhedrin, or in Masechta Avodah Zarah, what exactly it is. But it's Avodah Zarah-ish, for sure, right? So there's Avodah Zarah problems, Asa Behana. So the question is, can I use an Asherah, or can I not use an Asherah? So here the Gemara says, I want to start to another Machlokes from earlier in the Masechta. Not the Machlokes Rebbe in the Rabbanon, where Kol Davishum Yishum Shvuz, Gazru Bein Hashmashas, Olai Gazru Bein Hashmashas, but rather Machlokes Rebbe Yehud in the Rabbanon, whether you can make Erev Tchumen, again Tchumen, on a Beis HaKfaris or not. Rabbi Yehuda said you could put an Erev Tchumen in Beis HaKfaris. Rabbanu said you're not. This came up in the Sugya Mitzvah, Lahonis Nitnu, some of the Geshmak arrayed. But says the Gemara, again, Rabbi Yosef asked Abayo, Tibayo the Rabbi Yehuda, Tibayo the Rabbanu. I hear the Shaila both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbanu. Tibayo the Rabbi Yehuda, Adkan, Lekom Rabbi Yehuda, Hassam, the Motolikness, Bais Bisuria, Hana. Rabbi Yehuda, it's true, he holds you can make an Erev Tchumen even on a Beis HaKfaris, even though a Beis HaKfaris is Asabana. But Ella Hassam, he said it over there, the Basa, the Kondali, Erev Lay Nichalay the Linter. Same Svara, because after Ben Hashmashas, we don't care really about what happens. Now, why did he allow you to make the Erev Tchumen on us, Yisuri Ana? Aren't you inevitably being Nene from the Erev, which means you're being Nene from the Yisuri Ana? It's because Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion you could only use Erev Tchumen for Dvar Mitzvah, Mitzvah of Lahanis, Nitnu. As a result, it's not going to be a problem. What happens afterwards, he doesn't care about. Either the food is going to be lost, so isn't the Beis HaKfaris protecting his food? Forget about the Dvar Mitzvah, the fact that he can go Yosem Alpai Mama. What about the food itself? He doesn't care about it. Like Nichalei the Linter. That doesn't interest him. But the point is, Rabbi Yehuda said over there, it's going to be okay. But maybe over here, it's not going to be. There's no Mitzvah Lahanis Netnu here. Right? At the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda allowed Erev Tchumen on a Beis HaKfaris because he's relying on Mitzvah Lahanis Netnu. Over here, there's no Mitzvah Lahanis Netnu. You can make a Ruvich HaTzeris even not for a Dvar Mitzvah. So if you can make it even not for a Dvar Mitzvah, you don't have it. So, Yedoma, maybe you know. I feel the Rabbanon. Maybe you could say even going to Rabbanon, Pischahu, the Ayur, the Reveal. Like we said, even the Rabbanon that hold that you can't put an Erev Tchumen on a tree, even the hold that you certainly can't put it in a Beis HaKfaris. But maybe there's not going to be a problem. I can't use it. It's a tree. It's asabahana. Who cares? It's like a lion's there. At the end of the day, is it a Pesach? Yeah. If it's a Pesach, maybe that in itself should be enough. Amalei's bottom line is, Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbah two questions. The first question was whether you can use a tree as a sulam. The second question was, can you use an Asherah tree as a sulam? So the Gemara says, this is what he told him. Amalei ila muter. A regular, good old-fashioned tree is going to be mutter, v'asherah asura. But to use an asherah is going to be as maskel for Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, adarab, and svara, I would think just the opposite. Elon, she iser Shabbos goyrim lo nitzer. We're dealing with Hilcha Shabbos over here. What's the problem with the Elon? You're not allowed to use it. Why not? Because the Rabbanon said it's Chilul Shabbos. Oh, it's a Shabbos digger problem. So if it's a Shabbos digger problem, it makes sense that in Hilcha Shabbos, a Shabbos digger Chisaron should be prominent, and as a result, that should be a problem. Asherah, she is a davar achim, goyim loy loy nitzer. But Asherah, which is a davar achim, that's an avodizardig problem. Maybe that shouldn't be a problem. It's manamik yasir Ravin. In fact, Ravin said that's for Amr Abalaz, Amr Abavam, Rab Yoichanon. Kol she is a Shabbos, goyim loy asir. Kol she is a davar achim, goyim loy mutter. If it's a Shabbos, the problem is going to be a problem. If it's a davar achim, the problem is not going to be a problem. Nachim by Yitzchak Masni Hachi, he said a little bit differently. Elon, plukta de Rebbe virabanon, and Asherah, plukta de Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Meaning, when Rabbi Yosef set up the question to Rabbi, he said, my question about Elon has nothing to do with Rabbi and the Rabbanan. And my question about Asher has nothing to do with Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak said, I hold fakert. I hold the question about Elon is mamish the Machlokes Rabbi and the Rabbanan. And the question about Asher is mamish the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Exhale. So the truth is that there is a lot to talk about specifically with regards to the end of the daf, but we still have some unfinished business as it relates to Perek Hadar, which is really not just Negeya, the sugyas of Perek Hadar, but this is really just in terms of understanding the basic yesoidis of Erevin, specifically modern and contemporary Erevin issues as it relates to community Erevin and Erevin that are made in big cities. Yesoidos that very much come from the Gemaras and some of the raid that we spoke about in Perek Adar. So I thought it was kedai just as a little bit of a sikum to at least start going through that Indian. And that is that the premise of Perek Adar, at least the first part of it, was the idea that if somebody lives in a chatzar together with a non-Jew, the non-Jew poses an issue from an Erevin perspective. The reason is, an Eni Yehudi cannot be mishtatif in an Erev. Not only that, an Eni Yehudi can't be mevatel his rishos either to facilitate the Erev. As a result, the Chachamim said that hadorim ha'akim b'chatzer, harezer oyser olav, and the only option that he has is to go lease his property. So for this Shabbos, this non-Jew doesn't really live in this chatzer. If he doesn't live in this chatzer, someone else lives there. That other person is going to be mevatel his rishos. That other person will be mishtatif in the Erev, and as a result, it's going to be okay. But to actually have the non-Jew be mishtatif in the Erev, that's something you cannot do. Now, the truth is, that the Gemara said that really this is all a chumra shebachumra. Because me'ikar hadin, diras ovdei kechavim, loishma dira. And because diras ovdei kechavim, loishma dira, so really me'ikar hadin, do'ivik kechavim, should not have any bearing on the chatzar. And you shouldn't have to do schiris. The fact that he can't be mishtatav in the Erev shouldn't be a problem. The fact that he can't be mevatel's mishos shouldn't be a problem either. However, the Chachamim said that we're going to be machmir, and we're going to say that even though diras ovdei kechavim loishma dira, still you have to address the residence of the non-Jew. And the reason is because Chachamim didn't want Yidden to live together with non-Jews. Shema Yilmud B'Maisav. So the Chachamim said, if you're going to say that the only way you'll be able to carry on Shabbos is if you make an Erev, and in order to make the Erev, you're going to have to include this non-Jew. So it's going to come out, you're going to have to jump through all these hoops. The non-Jew may start getting paranoid. Who knows what this person wants from me? As a result, he may be disincentivized to be Mishtatav in the Erev. You're not going to have an Erev. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to end up moving, which is exactly what Chazal wanted. Either way, the halacha psuka is that if somebody lives in a chatzah together with a non-Jew, the only way he can make an Erev is if he rents the rishus of the non-Jew. Now, the sugyas in Perek Hadar that dealt with Hadarim Ha'akon, we're dealing with a Ruvei Chatzeros. So you have 10 people that live in a Chatzer, two of them, at the very least, are Jews, because we pass like Rebbe Lezim and Yaakov, the whole halach of Hadarim Ha'akon Ha'chatzer is only true if there's Shnei Yisraelim that are Oyser and Zeals, eh? And then one or the rest are non-Jews. That's when you have this halacha, you'd have to do Schiris Ha'akon. But the truth is, the Rishonim speak out, and it's brought down in Halacha, that the same is going to be true as it relates to Shetufei Mevoyos. So Shetufei Mevoyos is when a bunch of Chatzeres come together, and they're Ma'ariv, so that they can carry from one Chatzer to the other Chatzer, or they can carry from their Chatzer into the Mavoy. What would be if you had 10 Chatzeres that all open up into a common Mavoy? And you have 2 Chatzeres that belong to Yidden, and then you have 8 Chatzeres that belong to non-Jews. Can they make a Shetufei Mevoyos without doing Schiras Akum? Or do we have the same halach of Adorim Akum Bechatzer? You have to do Schiras in order to do a Shetufei Mevoyos. And it's halach of Pesukim Shulchan Aruch. It's an Erechaim Simen Shin Tzadik Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch says that even though Diras Oiv Dekechavim Loishma Dira, still, once the Chachamim said that Adorim Akum and Achatzer, you can't make a Ruvi Chatzeres without doing Schiras Akum, the same is going to be true for Shetufa Mevoyas. The only way you can make a Shetufa Mevoyas is if you're going to do Schiras Akum. If that's the case, says the Shulchan Aruch, we have a little bit of an issue. Why? Because there are a lot of cities, says the Mechaber, this is the Beis Yosef talking, there's a lot of cities that make a Ruven. And these Eruven have a lot of non-Jews that live there. There's a lot of chatzeros and cul-de-sacs and blocks of blocks of any Yehudim. How do you make a Shetufa Mevoyos? How do you go ahead and make an Erev? I mean, you could put up poles and you can work out the Shishim Riboy and the Asi Rabim and Mevatel Mechitzta. That can all be addressed. But Tachlis, you can't carry unless you address the issue of Shetufa Mevoyos as well. The problem is the only way to make a Shetufa Mevoyos is if everybody is Mishtatev. So you'll say, okay, one person will donate a box of matzahs. He's going to be the shiny yid. I got the matzahs. It's on me. I lie. Very nice. That works for any yid that's able to be Mishtatev. But Zachalodom, Shalai Bevodom. But what about the non-Jews? They can't be Mishtatev in an Erev. They can't be Mevatel their Rishos either. What you need to do is you need to rent them. So says Machal, wait, please, so spot, start knocking on every single door and say, sir, do you mind if I lease out your property for Shabbos? I mean, is that what you have to do? So says the Shulchan Aruch L'chayra. Tzrichen liskar, I'm skipping, mikol chotze v'chotze, shalene yehudi. That's exactly what you have to do, says the Mechaber. Ve'ein maspik b'mashe yiskar misaroir. Says Shulchan Aruch, I know what you're thinking. Maybe just go over to the Saroir, go to the mayor, and ask the mayor, is it okay if you lease out to me on behalf of all the residents, all your constituents in this city, their properties just for the Sabbath, just for the Shabbos, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal, no kishif, this is what we need. Says the Shulchan, you can't do that. They must be b'mashe yiskor misaroyer, because mechatesi, why does this person have the right? Very nice, he's the mayor, but at the same time, he might be a knacker, but he has no ability to go lease out his chevre's houses. So of course, says the Shulchan Aruch, that the pashtus is that if you want to make a Shetufa Mevoyos and you want to incorporate a large area where there ain't a Yehudim, it's very straightforward. Tzrichem liskor mikol chotzer v'chotzer shal ein a Yehudi ve'ein maspik b'mashe yiskor misaroir. And the truth is, this is all verbatim the lashon of the Torah. But then the Mechaber continues, and the Mechaber gives you his bold print, not such fine print. He said, when is this true? that you can't simply go to the Sarair for you to be able to now be Ma'ariv, all the non-Jews that are living in an area. That's only Besar She'ina Batim Shaloi. That's with your typical Sar. V'gam Eloi Rishus Lehishtamish Bebotei Bnei Yair Klal Afilu B'Shas Milchama. The Bir Halacha says, Haloshin Inam Meduktak. So I'm just going to read the Loshin of the Shulchan Aruch, but just in back of your mind. The Bir Halacha says, the Loshin of the Mechaber is a little bit Inam Meduktak. Ayin Shon. Abba B'makim Shekol Tzorchir Einasim El Alpi Asarayam Emunash. But in the event that you have a city where everything that happens in the city happens under the governance, they under the decision of the Sara the Mamuna. Vaday sheschiras me'asara hu. Oy meschiroi velikitei mahani. If you rent all the houses from this one person or from one of his gabayim, schir velikitei, one of his workers, that's going to be okay. Why? Shari yesh loy reshus lahoyshev anoshav. From the Paiskim and the Achronim, it emerges that last line is the punchline in the Mechaber. So let's just forward to the last line. It says the Shulchan Aruch, you want to know when this is true? This is true if you have a Sarair that absolutely, positively has no rights. He has no way to ever walk into any of the people that live in this town's houses. But let's say you have a situation, you have a Sarair that has Rishos Lahoshav Anoshav Ukli Milchamtoi Bebate Bnei Yair. Let's say a war breaks out and they have to go ahead and they have to fight now. So if this Sarair would have the right to go and put things, whether it's station troops or whether it's to put Kli Milchama inside those houses, even if he can only do Bishas Milchama, but if he could do it then Shalem Yidaitam, that in and of itself would be enough. And now you would be able to go rent the houses from the Saroyer. So again, the Shulchan Aruch said that if just like for Aruv Chatzeres, you have to incorporate the Eni Yehudim, even though Diras over the Kechavim Loich May Dira, but because Hashem Yilmim Mimaisa, you have to do Schiris Batim same as Shufa Shetufa and Mevoyes. If that's the case, says the Mechaber, if you want to go now and you want to be a very large community and you're going to want to be able to carry there, you're going to have absolutely no choice. But Srichem Liska Mikol Chatzer Bechatzer Shalainu, you're going to have to knock on every single door. The Ein Maspik Mamasha Yiska Misarayir, because who made the Sarair a balabas on everybody in the city? He's an elected official, or even if he's not, he still has no rights to go ahead and to walk into people. If, however, you have a Sarair that does have those rights, and what was the Mechaber's example of a Sarair that has the right to walk into somebody's house? That if it's Bishas Mulchama, he would have a right, Lahoshev Anoshev Ukli Milchamtoi, then if he can do that, Shaloi Midaitam, he doesn't need that permission, that's enough for him to be considered some Bailam over here, and as a result, you can go to them and you can lease it out from them. This is all the Shulchan Aruch. The Makar to this Mechaber is already more Barichos in the Beis Yosef on that tour that we mentioned. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef inside, he seems to base it on a Rajba and a Magid Mishnah, Ayin Sham, a lot of raid. It's but the Ein Kamakai Mai. The Bir Halacha, right here on this Halacha, says, Ein Chacham Tzvi Simin Vav, Sheneskasha Buza. So if you take a look at the Chacham Tzvi, and this tshuva was written in Hamburg, Chodesh Kislev, in the year Tov Samach, in the year 1700. So the Chacham Tzvi in the year 1700 was asked a Shaila about making an Erev in Hamburg. And they wanted to make an Erev, and he was addressing not the issues of the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkan Es Yaakov, how many people are there, we have to take a census, 600,000, Asi Rabim, Mavatel Mechitzta, Tzuris HaPesach, the bridges, that's not what he was dealing with. Chacham Tzvi was asked a more simple question. But Maisa, there are a lot of non-Jews that live in Hamburg. So he wanted to know, is it possible to make, or is it not possible? So he goes through the Halachan Shulchan Aruch, he brings the Beis Yosef, he brings the Mechaber, and then he's matmiya. He's absolutely matmiya on the Beis Yosef. And he says, I don't understand this halacha. Beis Yosef said that you have a city, there's a Saroir, there's a Puritz, right? There's one person, he's in charge of the city. Maybe everybody pays him rent. Right now, there are a bunch of people that are living in individual houses. This Puritz has no right to walk into anybody's. He can't knock on your door and throw you out of your house. I'm sure there were places where he did have the rights to do that. But we're discussing a somewhat democratic, somewhat civil type of state. And where the Rosh Ha'ir does not have the ability to do that. However, Bishas Muhammad, he does. And because Bishas Muhammad, he does, the Beis Yosef said his big caveat to what the Torah says, brought down in the Mechaber, Bamed Devar Mamurim, Haloshoin, Einoi Meduktik. But the punchline for sure is that if he has the ability to take Anoshim and station troops there and all his things, ammunition, that would be enough now for him to be considered a little bit of a balabas. If this Shaila, this Erev that's being made in this community, in Hamburg or wherever, would be made during wartime, he understands this, Beis Yosef. He says, but I understand. It's Erev Shabbos now. You want to make an Erev. There's no war. We're getting along with everybody. Everything is fine and peaceful. Because Lu Yitzuyer, if there was a war, the Sarair would have rights. That means he should have rights right now. Says the Chamtzvi, to me, it's a Pela Atzuma. I don't understand it. And he says, just like you find in Halacha, this concept of Mechusar Maisa, he says, Mechusar Melchama is Zicha Mechusar Maisa. I mean, you have to pick a real fight in order for this to happen. See, this, it's not here right now. I mean, everybody's thinking, what do you mean? Lamaisa, he has the right. Chamtzvi didn't hear that. Chamtzvi said, to me, it's a Pela Atzuma. And he goes through the Beis Yosef, and this is how he comes out. He says, V'efsher. This is the only way I can even deal with this. Is Shadivrei Arab Beis Yosef Amurim Besar Shayecholus Biyadoi La'Oyer Medanim. Maybe we were talking about a side that has the ability to be Ma'oyer Medanim. L'Shoinei Azov Shalach Hacham say, he can pick a fight Im Shcheinu with his neighbors B'chol Eish Yirtza V'Ein B'nei HaMedina Ma'ak V'Nova. Nobody can stop him V'Kivan Shekein Sfir Le'the Rab Beis Yosef Zal Av Shadayim Mechusim Maisa Mikol Mokum Yofa Koichoi. He says, but this Chevraman over here in Hamburg doesn't have those rights. As Nishta Azagroi Seknaka. And as a result, he couldn't just pick a fight if he wanted to. He would need support from a lot of people. And as a result, unless you have the ability to start the fight, this Beis Yosef is not going to work. Meaning the Efshir Shadivrei Arab Beis Yosef Amurim only with a Sar Shachaylus Biyadai La'oyer Medanim and Shechena. But if he doesn't have that ability, it's not going to work. In other words, Chamtzvi took this Beis Yosef and he literally was mitzamtzimit to a Sar Ha'ir who has the ability to start a war. He can literally start a fight, he can start a war, then he can bring the troops, and he can throw you out of your house, because that's what happened during wartime. Only then this is going to work. But if he doesn't have such rights on that level, then there's no way that this is going to work. The truth is, this tshuva from the Chamtzvi, it's an early tshuva, it was written in the year 1700s. And in the hundreds of years after that, so it was discussed by many other Gedolei Yisrael. This is a tshuva from the Marsham, where he brings this tshuva from the Chamtzvi, again, dealing with a very practical community Erev. And the question was, we want to rent out the Rishuyos of the non-Jews. You have to do it for Shetufim Mevoyis, just like you have to do it for Eruv Chatzeres. Machabe says you have to start knocking on doors, get busy, unless you're dealing with a Sarayir that has the ability to start a war. But the Chamtzvi, that can put people during a war. But the Chamtzvi, it's only if you can only start the war. That's the Chiddush of Chamtzvi. Only if you can also start the war. So the Marsham discusses, it's very hard to find a Saria like that. But said the Marsham, I think it's a little bit of a toys. So I think the Chamtzvi maybe made a toys, and I think I'm going to dingzich with the Chamtzvi. Says why? Because one of the big chedushim we saw in Perek Adar, this was a hard sugya, we didn't spend a lot of time on it. But one of the chedushim in Perek Adar is a concept of schiroi velokitoi. What does schiroi velokitoi mean? You have a non-Jew that's living in a chatzir, and he doesn't want to be mishtatim. So the Gemara says is an etza. Become his friend. Go then and, you know, ask him if you can use a room, put something there, take a paycheck from him, have some business professional relationship with him. Once you have a little bit of a relationship with him, now you can be looked at his gabai, and now you have rights. So you have rights, you're a yid. So you can go ahead, maybe lease it on his behalf, maybe be mishtatif in the Erev, exactly how it works. But there's an idea, there's something called Tzchiriv Elikitas, says the Marsham. I think that's Pshat in the Beis Yosef. Maybe the Chacham Tzvi was right. The only time it makes sense that a Sarayir should have the ability to be considered a Bailam to lease out your house, even though it's not his, because during wartime he has the ability. Hagam, there's no war right now, is if he has the ability to start the war. That was Chacham Tzvi's taina. So Chacham Tzvi said, okay, the Sarayir, this guy in Hamburg, does he have the ability to start a war? The answer is no. He says, okay, let's say the guy in Hamburg didn't have the ability to start the war, but he works for somebody. At the end of the day, he's a mayor. He works for the governor, who works for the president, whatever it is. The king of Germany, did he have the ability to start a war? Shanei did. That guy did. So said the Marsham, I don't understand the whole time of the Chacham Tzvi. Once we accept the fact that there's something called Schirei Velikitai, say everybody's a Schirei Velikitai. You're a Schirei Velikitai, Ben Schirei Velikitai, Ben Benoishal Schirei Velikitai. That's what he says. You're a Schirei Velikitai who works for a Schirei Velikitai, who works for a Schirei Velikitai. But at the end of the way, at the top of the food chain, there's a person that has the ability to start a war. That should be fine. So said the Marsham, I don't know the whole tumult. The Chamtzvi was Marish Olamos. He basically said this is almost never going to work unless you have a Sarayir that has that kind of power. I disagree. I don't think you need any Sarayir to have that. There's no Sar, no mayor has those that power. But the mayor is, he's part of a bureaucratic system. And as long as on the top, the very, very top at the Spitz, there's a Melech that can go ahead and start a war, he could be Ma'ir Medanim. As long as that person could do it, that would be okay. So the Marsham said, I understand the whole problem. What should be the issue? And Avadi said, you can go ahead, you can do a schirus. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Melech has the ability to start a war like the Chamtzvi felt is necessary, and once there's a war, he can go put all the things he wants to in your house. That's enough for him to have rights. That's what the Beis Yosef meant. Even though this particular side that you're going to go ahead and you're going to give the dollar bill to, that guy doesn't have the right. Who cares? He's a Schir of Elikita. And Schir of Elikita works mit den Shlichos. There is such a concept. This is something that works. Another place that I saw this taina very stark is in the Shailos HaTshuvos, Yeshua's Malkoi from Yeshua Mikutna. This tshuva wasn't written in Kutna. This tshuva was actually written in Vurka. But the Shail asked him the same question. He was asking questions about Schiris Batim and how to go about it. And just one line, I think that's worth reading. V'hine amino le izi, asher ein daiti noiche klal lefakfeik al minik shen espashet. V'anach lem li Yisrael, ein neviyem hein b'nei neviyem hein. Rabbi Shimon Mikutna told the Shoyal, he says, I'm not comfortable with this whole discussion. I hear what you're telling. He came to him with the Chacham Tzvi, guns blazing. He came to the Chacham Tzvi, that was what the Shoyal came with. He said, the Chacham Tzvi, I understand. Vurka, whatever, wherever the Erev was that he was handling. He said, I understand, you're making it within Karchev. He says, you go in your head, you're making an Erev. Chashtenish, what happened to the Chacham Tzvi, this Sarair, this Moishel doesn't have the right to start a war. So the Rav Shulman couldn't have said, I'll tell you, I'm uncomfortable discussing the Chacham Tzvi, because even though Chacham Tzvi asked the Bamba Kasha, let's say he asked the Bamba Kasha, but there's a Minig Yisrael. The Minig Yisrael always was to do Shtufim Avos, and they always rented it out from the Sarair. So if they always rented it out from the Sarair, they relied on the Beis Yosef, and I'm not comfortable just going ahead now and taking on the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha. What does this sound like? It's very, very reminiscent of the Beis Ephraim. This is what the Beis Ephraim told the Mishkanes Yaakov. When the Mishkanes Yaakov came and he told the Beis Ephraim, I don't understand all the big cities, how they have a Reuven, what happened to Shishim Reba, what happened to Asi Rabim of Akum Echisim. Beis Ephraim said, Minig Yisrael Toi, we have to defend the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael. Right? You have to defend the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael. He said, I'm ain't taiti noicha klal of fakveik al minig shen espachit. I'm not touching. I'm afraid to touch a minig. Even if you're right, I'm not touching it. I don't want to go there. Lamaisa, what about the Chansvi? He says, okay, Lamaisa, you asked me question after the whole Akdama, I'll answer you. And he told him what the Marsham told his Shoyal. He said, I don't think the Beis Yosef meant that the Sar Ha'ir himself needs to have that ability. Even if the Chacham Tzvi is right, that you need to be able to pick a fight. But as long as the man on the top of the food chain is able to pick a fight, let this Sar Ha'ir be viewed as a Schir V'Lakitoy, and that in and of itself shouldn't be able to work. So what's the bottom line? In order to make a Shetufim Avayis for a large group of people, you would have to incorporate every single individual, even the non-Jew. The non-Jew can't be mishtat mishtu mevoyis, just like it can't be mishtat ruv chatzeres. Bittul doesn't work, just like it doesn't work for ruv chatzeres. What would you have to do? You would have to do schiras. Now, if it's a large area, to do schiras would mean you have to knock on every single door, literally old school, and you'd have to get a separate lease. Sir, would you mind signing right here? It's okay, it's just for Sabbath. And you'd have to make that. It's the only way to do it. The ein maspik mamasha yiska misari ir. Based on a Lashon Hator, stating that the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber Lushitasei brings it here in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Tzadik Aleph of Katan Aleph says that that's only a Sari ear that doesn't have real power. But if you have a Sari ear that during war has the ability to go station things in the people's houses, that's enough of a Bailus, and he can now go ahead and lease it out on behalf of the whole Olam. So if you want to go to a mayor who has those kinds of rights, that in and of itself would be okay. Chacham Tzvi said, it's only true if the Sarir has the ability to pick a fight. The Marsham said, no, I don't think the Sarir has to have that ability. Because at the end of the day, that Sarir works for someone who works for someone who works for someone that has that ability. The Melech, the guy on top, he has that right. That in and of itself would be okay. And it's because of the Marsham and the Yeshua's Malkin and other Gedoyle Hadar who were willing to dingzich with the Chacham Tzvi, or at the very least, take on the minig and the Messiah and Klai Yisrael, that we have the kula that people would go to the Sarir. But what's the obvious problem? The obvious problem is this was all nice once upon a time, where at the very least, at the very, very top, you, if you climbed and went and opened up doors, you met a melech that had the right. But today, let's just pick the United States of America. In the year 2020, the president does not have the right to go start a war. He would need approval from Congress. He would need approval from the Senate. And as a result, he can't just go ahead and start a war. There's no member, no citizen in the United States of America, not even the president, that has that kind of power. In fact, the president is also a schir of elikitai on some level. He also works for somebody, takes a paycheck. So at the end of the day, the president is really in the same boat as everybody else. The point is, there is no person that has that right. So if there's no one person that has that level of power, how do we go about it? What are we doing today? Once upon a time, we relied on the Marsham. But now, what are you going to do? So you'll tell me, let's say there was a war today. Chalila, there was a war in the United States of America. Yes, and they may throw you out of your house. Okay, but the Chacham Tzvi said that we need, that it should be someone that has the ability, la'irin medonim in shchena, b'chol eish yirtza. So if it has to be la'irin medonim b'chol eish yirtza, how is this going to work? So the truth is that there's obviously a lot that's been written about this very, very obvious, glaring issue. But I'll just tell you one tshuva that I saw from a Breish in the Chelkis Yaakov, a Mordechai Yaakov Breish. It's in Urchaim. It's in Simin Kuf Pei Beis. It's very geschmack. That entire Simin, because he goes through a lot of the sugyas that we learned together in Perek Hadar, and he brings it very much lamata me'asara tfachim, pun intended, as it relates to halacha l'maisa. See, he says like this. I'll tell you the truth. You know, I know a lot of people on the Fakvik with the whole Schiris Akim problem as it relates to a community Erev. He says, I don't have such a major issue with it. I don't have such a big problem like other people do. And he said, the reason is because at the end of the day, let's be honest, let's look at the whole Schiris Akim. The whole thing wasn't such a Schiris to begin with. The Gemara said in the beginning of Perek Hagar, you could do a Schiris Re'uah. Right, there was a Machlekes in the Gemara. Does that have to be a Schiris Me'ula, like a Gebifta Schiris? Or it could be like an inferior Schiris. That's going to work as well. We Paskin, it could be a Shvacha Schiris. We hold like Rav Sheshes, who said it could be Pachas Mishava Pruta. The Gemara said you could do a Schiris on Shabbos. Can't do schiris on Shabbos. This schiris, we said, that soicher is kemevatol dami. Rabbi Yochanan, you could do this even on Shabbos. The whole idea of schire v'lakitoi, that's an unbelievable chiddush. Rabbi Breish brings that this tshuvas that were written by Gedolei Yisrael about doing long-term leases, like a 20-year lease or a 50-year lease. You know, you find that you could do these very, very long-term leases. In Chaysh and Mishpah, these long-term leases have a lot of holes in them. Narvas, what's the teretz? He said the teretz is that we were very, very mako when it came to Schiris Akim. And why were we so mako when it came to Schiris Akim? Sarah Breish, because really dira so the kechavim loishma dira. There really is no Erev Inish over here. Really, really, klapishmaya guy, there's no problem. Midai Raisa, the whole Erev is only midrabban. That's number one. Number two, even midrabban and dira so the kechavim loishma dira. Atim kriyam adam, ve'im loiv the kechavim kriyam adam, Rabbi Yosef Engel, and Beis Aitzer, klal yudalit, and Mariachas Allah. Right, there is no problem anyways. This whole issue is just one grace of the rabbanan. So being that this is only a shema yilmud mi maisa, so by shema yilmud mi maisa, we could be very mekel. Just to add, there's a truth from the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer says an unbelievable chiddush, another koyach that teira in the sugi of Schiris Akim. He says, what was the whole idea of Schiris Akim? Shema yilmud mi maisa. He says, let's be honest, you live in New York City, you live anywhere, there's no shema yilmud. You make now all of a sudden no shema yilmud mi maisa? Because of Schiris Akim. He says, the whole Schiris Akim was once upon a time where the Yidden was Shriyan Alat Masan, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, they lived in contained neighborhoods. As a result, this was going to be effective. He said, in Golis, there was no Shema Yom Mimaisav. No, Ross, the Dovish of a Minyan, Tzorich Minyan Achalat Tiroi. He says, there's no one that has the places to go ahead and be Mavatul Schiris Akim. And that's why we have Schiris Akim. But you want to understand Schiris Akim, you're going to have to be a sociologist and really go back into time, understand the way the Yidden lived 2,000 years ago, to be able to appreciate a little bit in the hair of us that's made Tzchiris Akim, of us that's made Shema Yilmud Mimaisa, and what it means to have Shmiris and Gzeiris and Archakas Mishum Bnoiseya, Mishum this, Mishum that, right? That's what you have to go back to that world. That world doesn't exist anymore. So really the whole Shema Yilmud Mimaisa is not even something that's so prevalent. So said Rabbi Breish, I don't have a problem with this. At the end of the day, so I found 7 kulas. So you found an 8th. The whole Akum, Chacham Tzvi, Marsham, I don't have such a problem with it. I said this because he acted, but I'm telling you what I do have a problem with. And this is going to all come full circle now. He said, you know what I have a problem with? The halach is, the Rambam paskins this, in the end of the second parak in Hilchas Erevin, and it's based on a sugi mesechtas Erevin daf samach tes, that a mechal Shabbos befar hesio has a din of a guy. A mechal Shabbos befar hesio, he has a din of a guy. What does that mean he has a din of a guy? He can't be mishtatif in an Erev. He can't be mevatel as Rishot. So what do? You do schiris akum. He said, this is a problem, you know why? Because Pashtus, a Mechal Shabbos for Hesed that has a din of a guy, only has a din of a guy, L'chumra. But Avada L'kula, he has a din of a yid. If L'kula, he has a din of a yid, you have to help raid from some of the raid bites from last, help cut from some of the raid bites from last week. If really Midday Raisa, he has a din of a yid, that means his dira is Shma dira. His dira, of course, he is atim kriyam adam. So avada is his matama ba. So his dira is a dira. So if his dira really is a dira, so it comes out luchura. How do you have a right to go ahead and make all these kulas? You're going to go ahead now. You're going to make a kula. You're going to rent it from the saroir, even though it doesn't really make so much sense. Why? Because really, at the end of the day, it traces itself back to dira. So if they can have him loishma dira. See, so by the guy, he says,
Stein.
But by the Yid, I don't understand it so much. And he said, I'll say it even better. Forget about this Shaila. Forget about going to the mayor, going to the Sarair, the police chief, whoever, and doing it that way. Forget about that. What about all the halachas in the Gemara? He says, the Gemara says you can do a Schiris Ru'ah, Pachas Mishava Pruta. You can do it on Shabbos, Schiriv Lekita. What about all those halachas? Should that work for Michal Shabbos before Hesia? L'chayra not. Bishlai Magoi, I understand. Dirus like the Kachalim Loich Madira. But a Michal Shabbos before Hesia really has a din of a year. It's only L'chumra that a Ma'arvin Ve'im Avatlin, but L'kula Avadli has a din of a year. So the coolest of the Gemara, I don't even know if are going to relate to Michal Shabbos before Hesia. But Sedra Braish, the bottom line is, I don't have a problem with the Goyim. That I can live with. Ach Vashteis. I don't understand how this works for the Yidden. So he says, I think, he fears always Fitzarachim, but could be, this is unbelievable, that this Minigan Klal Yisrael, that all the coolest that we rely on for Schiris Leif the Kechavim were always applied to the Mechal Shabbos, because every Kehila had Mechal Shabbos, especially the last few hundred years. They had Mechal Shabbos before Hesia that were living there, and we always worked with the Shetufim Mavois, and we applied it even to the Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. I think this is a Raya, it's a Raya, said Rav Braish, to those Shitas that hold that a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, as it relates to Erevin, has a din of a guy, not only L'chumra, but has a din of a L'chula as well. And this was Mamish Rav Kivega Shailon, the Tshuva that we spoke about, and Devin Oizer, Rav Kivega brings in Shimpei Hei, and the Yad Elio that the Karben Asano brings in the Rosh and Simon Yud Gimel and Berek Gadar, all that raid coming together. What was the Shail Rav Kivega was discussing? Rav Kivega Shailon was, what would be if you have one Yid that lives together with Mechal Shabbos before Hesia? If he has a din of a guy, even Lekula, so one Yid that lives together with a guy, we pass him like Rebbe Lezeb and Yaakov, it's a Milsad Loishchicha, like Gazer Beir Abon, you don't have to worry about it. So one Yid would be the same thing. But if he has a din of a Yid, only Lechumra, not Lekula, so just like one Yid, Avada Aser is another Yid, so even one Michal Shabbos for Hesia is also going to Aser another Yid. He said, there's another Nafkamino where you want to take on his din as a guy Lekula, where even when you're going to do the din Schiris, you're going to treat him with all the halachas of Schiris Lekula. But the bottom line is, said Rabraish, Ulai, he says, Vitzarachir. He says, Ulai, the minig in Klai Yisrael, that all the Kulas that we named on in Schiris Akka, we named on for the Michal Shabbos for Hesia as well. Maybe this is a shtickle raya to one side of Reb Kivega, Shaila, Dvarim Neflam. But then he fears us with one more punchline. We'll end with this. And that is his, but I think it may even be a bigger problem. And this is so ironic. He says, you know what the bigger problem is? What about someone that's not Michal Shabbos before Hesia? But Loya Leinu is Michal Shabbos Bitsina. What about someone that's not Michal Shabbos for Hesia? He's for sure not a mummer. He's not Michal Shabbos for Hesia. But Bitsina, he doesn't keep Shabbos. He's an Ena Moide Be'erev. He doesn't keep the laws of Erevin. The halach is any person that's not moida be'erev can't be mishtatev in an erev. And just a chazer, we had a machlokes in the Gemara whether tzeduki is a yid, he's a guy, he could be mivad, he can't be mivad. That's pashit. No one ever allowed the tzeduki to be mishtatev in the erev. There was no tzad in samaches, samates, that the tzeduki can contribute to the erev. Why not? Because he's an enei moida be'erev. Any person that's not moida be'erev can't be mishtatev in an erev. So if you have a yid that's a mechal Shabbos betzina, he can't be mishtatev in the erev. As a result, what are you going to do with him? So you'll tell me you'll do schiris? The schiris work for a Yisrael that's not moide be'erev? A mummer who's a mechal Shabbos before Hesia, a schiris works. But what about a yid that's not a mummer, who's not a mechal Shabbos before Hesia? Does he have schiris? It's really totally in the machlokes between the Maram and Rutenberg and the Rosh. Because that was the Shiloh. Could you do schiris for a yid? Ram Rutenberg said only a guy could do schiris. Michal Shabbos for Hesia has schiris. A yid, a regular yid, can't do schiris. Can't do it. He has Erev, he has Bittul, he doesn't have schiris. The Rosh said no. Once the Chachamim instituted schiris as being a way to work with Erevin, there's no reason that schiris shouldn't be able to work for a regular yid as well. So if a yid can do schiris, so then the Michal Shabbos Bitzina is not Erga, maybe then the Michal Shabbos for Hesia. The only hoop that you're jumping through, says Rav Braish, that I'm not comfortable in is that Lamais, at the end of the day, you're going to rely on all the coolest. For the guy to rely on the coolest, the Yisrael, the Chavon, Loish, Madira. For the yid to rely on the coolest, okay, at the end of the day, he's a Yisrael mummer, he has a din of a guy. Rav Kivega said that he has a din of a guy, even Lakula, so I can live with it. But what about a Yisrael that's a Mechal Shabbos only Betzina? He's Zichar yid. There's no tzad in the world he's ever treated like a guy. So you'll take on the Rosh. The Rosh says that you can do this. By the way, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, Chesim and Shinpei, whether a Yisrael can do schiris or can't do schiris. So good, you'll pick and choose. Halachi divrei meikel be'erev, you're going to go be meikel like the Rosh, you're going to say, yud can be mishtatev in this. But how can it be mishtatev in this type of schiris? A schiris ru'uah, a schiris that's pachas mishava pruta, a schiris that you're doing on Shabbos, a 50-year lease that in the world of Chesh and Mishpat has 1,000 holes in it. How are you going ahead and doing that? Oh, it's because of Diris Levit Kechav and Leishmai, this is a regular yid. This guy asks you. You need a real schiris, okay? You take on the Rosh. But even this, is schiris, which is not a real schiris. It's a shtickle chukka v'tlula, that type of schiris. That's schiris. This is not Shem and Yilma myself. This is not Dira's like Chavlesh. This guy's a regular yid. So says Reb Breich, here's the irony. We'll end with this. Here's the irony. You know, people talk about community Yerevan. They say, what about the Goyim? The Goyim's a halbitzar. It's not a problem. The Goyim's not a problem. With the Goyim. That's not the Marshan wrote shuvas about the Goyim. The Yeshua's Malkai wrote shuvas about the Goyim. Yeah, that's a Befurish Beis Yosef. You're right, there's a Chacham Tzvi. But at the end of the day, like Reb Breich said, okay, so instead of having 17 coolers, you have 18 coolers. I can live with that. I don't think anyone has a problem. No conscience is going to have a major issue with that. Because at the end of the day, there's so many coolers in Schiris Akim. No, so chalk this up as another cooler. He said, you know what my problem, said Reb Breich, is Rachmanu Litzlan, it's the Yidden. That's the problem. They're the ones that cause the tzaras and all these Erevin issues. Because if you have a yid that's Michal Shabbos b'farhesia, he has a din of a guy, so the zachel adam shleib fun of the box of matzahs doesn't work for him. And if that's the case, you have to come out to a schiris to work on all these b'di'evid to get schiris in for a yid, that's totally in a Reb Kiveger. That's totally if in a yid that's a Yisrael mummer is Michal Shabbos b'farhesia has a din of a guy, even l'kula, then you can rely on all the kulas. Or maybe only the chumra, then you can rely on it. And what's even a bigger problem is Michal Shabbos b'tzina. That's checkmate, said Reb Breich. That's a major issue. Because if someone's a Michal Shabbos Betzina, he says, nah, you have a big problem. Why? Because Michal Shabbos Betzina is Zichra Yid. So if he's Zichra Yid, even if you want to take on the sheet of the Rush, not like the Maram Rutenberg, you want to take it, which is one day in Shulchan Aruch Hasim and Shin Pei, that a Yisrael can use Schiras, but he's a Yid, so he would need a regular Schiras. He for sure would need a regular schiris. So if you would need a regular schiris, it should work. The one Eitzer Reb Breich says is based on Allah in Chayshe Mishpatim in Reish Gimel is a concept of a migu sometimes, where you could do a kinyan that you're doing it for five people. It doesn't really work for three of them. But for the other two, it works. So maybe there's a migu. It doesn't work for this asset class, like an agav. But once it works for this, I can make it work for that as well. There is an idea of a migu in Chayshe Mishpat. Migu works for this, it works for that. So he says, maybe the itz is once you do the schiris akim for the guy, and for the guy, it works even with this schiris ru'uah, even with this inferior schiris, migu that it works for them, maybe it can work for everybody else. Either way, when you talk about community Erevin, so of course the first thing that comes to mind is the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkenes Yakin and Shishim Ribay, and what's the definition of Shishim Ribay, etc., etc., etc. But there's a whole other problem. You can have a beautiful Erev with mechitzes that are perfect, but at the same time, there's a whole other issue. The issue that you're going to have is Shtufim Avayas, and I've seen brought down in some of the contemporary works, B'Shem Rebbe Yashiv, that Rebbe Yashiv used to tell communities to make an Erev, but he told people not to carry in the Erev. Make an Erev because you want to cord off the area. So the area will have a din of Rishos HaYochid. It won't be Rishos HaRabim. You won't be Ovechil Shabbos Day Raisa. If somebody carries Dal Aram Rishos HaRabim, at least it was an Erev. But at the same time, he told people not to carry because he wasn't comfortable with the Schiras Akim. At the end of the day, you're going to have to rely on something, and whatever that something was didn't make Rabbi Yashiv comfortable. And that's what Rabbi Yashiv used to say. He said, unless you can make what's called like an Erev Mahudr, I think that's what they're called. But if you have an Erev where you can taka, address every single Ein Yehudi, but the problem is it's the Yidden. That's what Rabbi Yashiv said. It's a much bigger issue. But you can address, okay, Yid has a cheskes kashrus. Of course, you give every Yid the benefit of the doubt that he's not Michal Shabbos Farhesia and not even Betzina. But this other issue, the Shetufim Mevoyis issue, Rabbi Yashiv felt in some regards is a bigger problem as it relates to practically being able to carry in an Erev. And we will conclude part one with this, and hopefully, Bez Hashem, later in the week, we'll do part two.